for 25 years. Nothing has tasted better after a hard day's work than a Mike's Hard Lemonade. It's because since day one, Mike's has been making lemonade the hard way. We use three kinds of lemons, all hand-picked from family farms, then blended to perfection in cold press to create the epic hard lemonade you know and love. Mike's Hard Lemonade. Hard days deserve a hard lemonade. Mike's is hard, so is prison. Don't drive drunk. Premium all beverage with flavors. All registered trademarks used under license by Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois.
NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partners. NetCredit, credit to the people.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. He's John LeFoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
And now, this is the moment you've all been waiting for. We are live on the Charity Stripe Podcast with your hosts, Alex, Josh, and Nick.
We're back, baby. It's the Charity Stripe Pitch Free Throws because they have Free Fisher Tisopoulos. Let's get going with some basketball. We have a big, big basketball day today. We're doing a double show, double recording. You'll probably hear this one on Thursday, a little Western Conference talk, maybe a little in the afternoon Wednesday. We'll see when we release it. We have Noah Dzel coming on to talk Eastern Conference basketball. She covers the Celtics, so that'd be really fun for the first portion of our
basketball. Yeah, for you, for Joshua Fisher, it will be. No,
we're doing Western Conference for you.
I'm really excited. Look, I care about all of the NBA, the West and the East. It takes two conferences to put together an NBA Finals, so they're both very, very important to the history of the sport. And year in, year out, it's something that everybody who likes the sport should pay attention to. Although the Western Conference playoff timeline and run and the teams that are involved seems a little bit more even keeled right now and a little bit more competitive. Obviously, the Celtics look like they are at the top of the Eastern Conference. It's hard to dispute that, debate that. But I am excited to kind of get a different C's fans, not just a fan, but someone who covers the team, their opinion on what's going on in Boston right now to kind of maybe stave off some of your narratives that you've been talking about or support them.
Yeah. We'll see if they stave or support. We'll see how that goes. Well, let's get to some narratives in the Western Conference. Here's a fun one for you. Which play-in team or the four play-in teams right now? So the Kings or Mavs, the Lakers, the Warriors, which play-in team needs to get to the sixth seed the most of those play-in teams?
I'd say needs to get to the sixth seed.
Needs to get out of the play-in.
I mean, to me, in my opinion, it's the team that actually is at the top of that list right now. It's the Kings. When you talk about one game or two games, right? If they're at the seventh seed, obviously they'd have two opportunities. And that first one would be on their home court in Sacramento, and they've got a great home court. You know, they light the beam when they win at home. There'd be a lot of excitement there. Their fans really, really showed up when they played the Warriors last year in the playoffs in that first round series.
Yeah.
But I look at one game or I look at two games, a lot of it has to do with who's the best player on the court. And you've got Fox and Sabonis who are having really, really good years, in particular DeMontis Sabonis, who I believe should be an all NBA player. And I think De'Aaron Fox will be vying for that as well. We'll see how the 65 games plays out with a lot of these different guards who are in contention for that award. And those awards, but Kings are paired against the Mavs. I'm probably going to take the Mavs there just because I think Luke is going to show up and do what he needs to do. And then if they lose that game, they're playing the Warriors or the Lakers, right? Mm-hmm. And those teams, the Warriors, I think they have an interesting kind of rivalry with, and maybe they could get the upper hand. The Warriors got the upper hand last year. but I trust the pedigree for the Lakers with LeBron and Anthony Davis. And the same thing with Steph, as long as he's healthy, Draymond's healthy, Klay's healthy, and the rest of that team is healthy. It's hard for me not to pick those teams over Sacramento. So I think if Sacramento can go and get that sixth seed, catch the Pels, catch the Suns, you know, who but the Pelicans keep winning games. You know, that's the tough thing for the Mavericks.
They're as hot as ever. I mean, they have the longest win streak in the NBA right now, yeah, as it stands today. They have longest
but that would be my pick, the Kings. What about you?
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, like, at the end of the day, like, LeBron, Steph Curry, like, Luka, like, that's, we're talking about three top 10 players, right? And we have Fox and Sabonis in our top 25 in the list that we've each gotten some interesting flack on. We could definitely rehash that now that we've posted that on TikTok and had some really fun interactions with it. But those guys are outside our top 15. So that's why at the end of the day, by and large, you really need a top 10. If you want to win the championship, you need a top 10 player in your roster. You can't find me a team in the last ever where, like, they even got to the finals and they didn't have a top 10 player or a guy that was playing like a top 10 player. Cause I know Jimmy Butler would be the caveat there, but he fluctuates. Right.
Right. Right. And we've already seen, you know, with this Lakers team, we've already seen them get hot and win enough games to win the in-season tournament. I know that was well earlier in the season.
Point, though. It's a great
point. But they got up for important games where there were stakes. And I have no doubt that they would do the same. Also, the thing about the Lakers in comparison to the Kings, the thing about the Mavs in comparison to the Kings are going to have some trouble with their size, with Lively and Gafford, with Anthony Davis, who will give any team fits down low, but they also have Rui Hachimura and they also have LeBron James. Like, they are big. They just are. And the Kings, you know, their second biggest player, or their biggest player, I guess, is Alex Len, but you don't want to see that guy on the court more than 15 minutes if you're the Kings. And, you know, Domantas Sabonis is going to have to do a lot. If he gets in foul trouble in one of those games, that's going to be really, really tough for them. And certainly that's going to be something that the opposing offenses are going to be attacking. Get Sabonis in foul trouble, get him foul trouble early, and enforce the issue for the Kings to play big and rebound well.
Yeah, I think, I mean, obviously Monk has been tremendous off the bench, but if you go down the line in the Western Conference, especially one of the teams you just mentioned that they're chasing, when the Pelicans, Trey Murphy's at least as of late been just as good, right? Trey Murphy's been stupendous in my opinion. So there's a lot of talent in the Western Conference, a lot of teams that are really close. I just wish there was, like, I don't know, something's missing a little bit for the Kings for me. Like, that third guy, like, Monk is supposed to be the fourth guy, right? He's supposed to be that fourth firecracker off the bench. You could do it, in my opinion, if you had Sabonis and Fox. You can get there if there was a real bona fide third guy. And they're just like, I don't know, Mitchell's not the draft pick they thought he was going to be. I don't know if Murray is yet. I'm not saying he's not good. He is definitely valuable, but I don't think he's like a superstar yet. And I think that was kind of the hope when they took him, that he could elevate to that range. And I don't know if he ever will or necessarily could.
Year two, he looks better than he did year one. I think he's
it does.
He's on their trajectory. Yeah.
He's on a good track. I just wish they had it to really compete. I mean, look, Sabonis is almost averaging a triple double. Fox is putting up a ridiculous amount of points per game.
I actually think Keon Ellis has given him really good minutes all season as a rookie.
Yeah. He's been solid. I mean, the Bama guard, baby. So he's been good for them. Going to the one seeds, though, the Thunder are the one seed.
Right.
Who do they want to see the least?
Any of those teams that I just mentioned who could beat the Kings, who do they want to see the least? Probably the Lakers. I just talked about the size issue with the Kings. I feel the same way about Chet Holmgren. I feel, even though he's a much better rim protector than Domantas Sabonis, he has not played in a playoff series before. He is a 21-year-old or 20-year-old. I forget how old he is, which is exciting for the Thunder, obviously. And they have two first-round picks again. I know that this draft class is getting poo-pooed by a lot of people, but it's still two first-round picks and chances at getting another rotation player in the mix for this young, talented Thunder team. But if they have to deal with Anthony Davis for a seven-game series, they're going to be in trouble.
And yeah.
They just – I don't think – and they've played them fine this season. Well, first off, I don't think they're going to get the one seed. I find it hard to believe that Denver, who's basically even record with them at this point, won't end up the one seed with the way that they're playing.
Yeah.
They're both 45 and 20. The Timberwolves, you know, they're one game back, or they're half a game back, but obviously, you know, Cat's injured now. So I think that could affect things, especially in the regular season. And I don't expect them to beat the Thunder or Nuggets in wins.
Sure.
Yeah. But facing Anthony Davis would be really, really tough for them.
Yeah. I agree with you. I mean, and I was just pulling up records the last 20 games. The Lakers are towards the top with the Thunder, and they kind of match up with them at this point in strength. Like, the Thunder stroke it really well from behind the arc, which is interesting with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Josh Giddey taking valuable ball handling minutes. But the Lakers are shooting the lights out the place too.
Yeah, I mean, D'Lo's been shooting incredibly. Rui's shot really, really well. Reeves shoots well. LeBron has shot, you know, some of the best he's shot in his entire career from behind the arc. Anthony Davis shouldn't be shooting from out there, but, you know, he can hit those middies. And then when he's just on the offensive glass, like, he's dynamite, and he's impossible to stop there. And it's a really poor matchup for the Thunder in a 7-game series. And Dort, it's the Mavs, I think, will also give them some trouble. I think, you know, Luka's going to give any team trouble. So that's just the fact of the matter with him. But at least they have Lu Dort to throw on him for 35 minutes a game, right? And to try and wear him out. He'll be physical with him. You could even switch in Giddey or J-Dub if you wanted on Luka. You could throw him different looks. You could throw Chet on him if you want to put the length on him for a couple of possessions. I still think, like, Gafford should really dominate inside against them. I think that, you know, Lively should be really effective too. And then, yeah, I think the Mavs would feel comfortable in that matchup. Like, I don't think everyone's sweating if they're facing Denver. They're not sweating if they're facing Oklahoma City. And some of that has to do with the youth. And that doesn't mean that Oklahoma City can't win either of those series. They absolutely could. But I think I would pick the teams that have both been to the Western Conference Finals over the team, you know, that hasn't gotten to the second round with Shea as their lead guy.
Yeah, no, I mean, I look at the top of the division, top of the standings in the conference finals. I mean, I expect the Nuggets to pull away. I'm with you on that, especially after what I saw against my Celtics. And they're just, again, just as hot as anybody in the National Basketball Association. So I'm with you there. And with Karl Anthony, I'm looking at the Timberwolves right now because, you know, something we could kind of get into it. Karl Anthony Towns will be reevaluated in 4 weeks with a meniscus issue. Right. Kawhi Leonard left the stadium against the Timberwolves, the back issue. So those are the 3-4 seed right now. Pelicans are playing hot. They're 2 games back from the Clippers. I think it's completely plausible if they're fully healthy to catch the Clippers and at least get that first round home court. And I just want to, it's really going to be interesting to see how much Anthony Edwards can take care of the offense. Cause that's it. Like, there's no real offensive spark plug. Like, you're pretty much reliant on Conley putting up some serious numbers, which isn't going to happen. Nikhil Alexander Walker putting up some serious numbers. You need Naz Reid to go Super Saiyan. Cause, like, we've said it for how long as we've done the show, Gobert is going to do it offensively. He's a defensive anchor. So yeah. I'm a little worried about what the Timberwolves can do offensively down the stretch here. And the Pelicans are just a really sneaky team to jump them into that 3 seed. They're only 5 games back.
Yeah, I mean, they beat the Clippers last night, right? But obviously the injury happens in that game. That makes it tough. Awesome highlight once again from Anthony Edwards where he picks Paul George his pocket and takes it, you know, coast to coast for a layup. He's just at least one highlight per game at this point. I would have liked to have seen Naz Reid be more productive. He only played 22 minutes. I think a lot of that has to do with Gobert coming back. And you don't necessarily, I guess, have the same flexibility with playing Gobert next to Naz Reid as much as you were playing Gobert next to Kat. But in the previous 2 games, Naz Reid had scored 20 plus in both of those. So that guy, he can score. I mean, he can put up big numbers. He's in the mix and has been all year for sixth man of the year. He's going to get a ton of opportunity. I think he's really talented. And I really like the way he plays. I think he shoots the 3-ball really, really well. He does a lot of the things that Kat does. He's a little smaller.
Sure.
But if anything, I think he's more physical and he's a little bit more of a load, like barreling through the paint. He's broad. He's really, really strong.
Yeah, he's a sizable guy.
Yeah. So I mean, but you don't want to have to force Ant to score 38 points every single game, because he hasn't been able to do that. And more importantly, he hasn't been able to do that late in games, right? It's just so nice to have 6 seconds left on the shot clock, kick it to Cat. He's going to shoot over anyone for a three. And at that point, it's a pretty solid look. Like, you got 51 points from Nikhil Alexander Walker and Michael Conley combined, plus another 37 from Anthony Edwards last night. Like, 88 points from those three guys. You're not going to get that production from Conley and NAW every single game. It's just not going to happen. So you're absolutely right. Where's that offense going to come from? And it's not going to come from Gobert. We know that, but definitely something to look out for. And I want to see Cat back. Some interesting, of course, Ewing theory stuff, like populating already with the Timberwolves winning a couple of games without Cat. Like, how are they better? Do they look better? And of course, like, Cat's the classic guy that everyone's going to throw in that, in that theory, right? When we're talking about NBA teams in the top four in either conference, but they need that guy. They do.
Yeah. I don't think I think some people were like, oh, Cat is better than Gobert, or Cat's top 25 player. I don't necessarily think so. I think obviously injury history is something that we always take into account. And then on top of that, I would say, I just think there's a lot of time where he's not an efficient player. I know his numbers are great, but sometimes, like, I mean, when his 60-point game was like, that was the most poo-pooed 60-point game I've ever seen in my life. Like, everyone,
well, they lost.
His coach was pissed. Like, he took it off the rails. So I don't think he's like, he's so conducive, which is maybe at times when people think the team looks better, but when push comes to shove, like, if you don't have him back, we're just watching Gobert and Donovan Mitchell in different uniforms and different names. Like, it's just that again. It's just what we saw with the Jazz again. Like, it's not that big of a deal.
The league is so talented right now. And if you looked at both of our top 25 lists, once you get past like 20 is where the Robins start to come into play, right? Cat is a Robin. There's no debate about that. Anthony Edwards has made that very, very clear. He is the Batman on that team. It is his team. And Cat has flourished in this role. And I think that's great for their team success. And I think that's great for their playoff hopes. But looking at my top 25, like, Damian Lillard is at 19. Okay. That guy is a much better player as the best player on his team than Karl Anthony Towns. We know that. We've seen it. We've seen what Cat is as the best player on the Timberwolves. It's not a good team. And I don't think that this year's Cat is any different. He just has the luxury of playing with a better and burgeoning version of Anthony Edwards. Then you get into De'Aaron Fox, Kyrie Irving, Paul George, Sabonis, who could be the alpha on his team, right? It's a 1A, 1B thing with him and Fox. Zion Williamson on my list, and then Victor Wembanyama, who, I'll tell you what, at this point in time, I would rather have Victor Wembanyama on my team as my number one guy than Karl Anthony Towns. He's more effective and is more of a thing to deal with offensively for the other team and defensively. Like, he's just one of the best defensive players in the league, if not the best already, and he's a rookie. So I have no problem not having Cat in my top 25. Like, I'm not going to bat an eye at it. I really am not.
You didn't even mention some of the Eastern Conference guys. Like,
Tyrese Maxey at least is keeping his team afloat, like, in the play-in hunt in the East, right? Like, I don't know if Cat would be able to do that. If Anthony Edwards was the one that got injured, like, where would the Timberwolves be? Thankfully, we're not at that place. Hope Cat comes back, because, again, I want to see him healthy, but he's not a top 25 player. He's just not.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, we'll get into the Eastern Conference bit. I don't think Maxey's shown enough for me. He was the guy that was mentioned. Trae Young was the guy that was most off mentioned, and I went through that on my list.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, Trae Young's now shut down for the rest of the season. So, or just about, you know, like, likely will not play the rest of the season. So it's unfortunate.
It was really interesting. It's like volume versus like actual efficiency. And it was right. I saw a lot of Young versus Halliburton, a lot of Young versus Lillard. And the more I dug into it, Lillard is admittedly the way he's actually playing this year, more of a feel thing. Like, the way we feel about Lillard, the confidence we have in Damian Lillard when push comes to shove, more of like a name brand thing. So that's, I guess, a better argument. But at the end of the day,
it's more importantly the name brand, it's admitted respect because of playoff performance in past, right? Like, that's what it is. And I know Trae Young had that Eastern Conference Finals run, but there are so many players in the NBA that are hyper efficient and at high volume that it's kind of hard. It becomes very glaringly obvious when a guy is inefficient, like Trae Young has been. Although the assist numbers, like, we, as a playmaker, he's one of the best. And I think of all three of those guys that you mentioned, Kat, Tyrese Maxey, and Trae Young, he has the best. He has the best body of work this year. Yeah, yeah, it claimed to that top 25, certainly.
I agree. By the, he's second in assists.
But like, why aren't we 500?
He's second in assists, but he's 69th in assist to turnover ratio. So you could give me all the counting stats you want. Like, you know what? What's Halliburton? Halliburton's sixth in assist to turnover ratio while leading the league in assists. I mean, you want to talk to, and their, and everything. And that's why their offense is better. It's all working better. So you could give me all the volume stats you want. Like, you could give me all the volume stats you want with Tyrese Maxey. And I get it. Like, he's a really good basketball player, definitely top 35. But if he was top 25, if he was top 20, like a lot of people in the comments have been saying, like, they would still be in the top six seeds. Like, it's not like the Pacers, who I mentioned, are playing world-beating basketball. Like, the Magic are. That's why Banchero's in for me. Is the MVP race, is it a two-horse race, three-horse race? I think your guy has been incredible, but if you guys are the eighth seed, I just can't see that happening. I just can't see it happening.
We're once again, like, in the same conversation that it was 2 weeks ago, and I think it's weird that, like, a lot of people don't acknowledge us when they're having the conversation. Yeah, we're the eighth seed, but we're also a game back from the team that's the sixth seed and the Phoenix Suns, right? And Devin Booker just missed a couple of games. Like, and Beal obviously misses games all the time, and we've won three straight. Like, in 5 days, we could be the sixth seed, and then it's a little bit of a different conversation. So until we actually get to the last, like, 10 days, 2 weeks of the season, we can talk about how the seeds should come into play. But until we get to that point, I think it's still worth acknowledging that Luka should be in that top three, in my opinion. I think the pecking order is what I thought it was 2 weeks ago. It's Jokic at the top. It's Shea at the two now, and Luka at the three. And I think, unfortunately, Jason Tatum has kind of cemented my take in the last week and a half of him not necessarily being the MVP this season. They're the best team. He is the best player on the best team, but not every night. He's not. And he's the only guy in comparison. Luka's the best player on the Mavs every night. They have Kyrie Irving, who's an excellent player. Nikola Jokic never leaves doubts, ever. And I think that's what that lack of consistency that we've talked about with Tatum, and he has closed that gap from, I'm just looking at him in a vacuum. Like, he has gotten much more consistent as a player. And certainly he's even gotten better as a defender as he's gotten stronger throughout his NBA career. But he doesn't have to do the same thing that those guys have to do, right? And that's the luxury of the Boston Celtics right now with their personnel, is that they have Kristaps Porzingis, and they have Jrue Holiday, and they have Jaylen Brown. And Jaylen Brown, who I know counting stats-wise is not as good as he was last year, he's a better player than he was last year. This is the best basketball Jaylen Brown's played in his career.
He's probably the guy that moves in the top 25 if we had to put one, to be frank. Like, he was.
Yeah, he's a Robin that I would rather have in the Batman role than Karl Anthony Towns. That's for sure.
I would, but we didn't have Brown and Porzingis last night. So, and we'll wrap up here because I think this is a good segue, because we have to go jump to our Celtics friend. We didn't have Brown or Porzingis last night, and Tatum dropped 38. So for me in the MVP ladder, the Celtics are 9.5 up. They're 33-7 in a weaker Eastern Conference. It just is. I don't know. Like, winning matters, but then it doesn't. Like, it's just wonky.
No, I'll tell you what matters is playing your biggest ball in the biggest moments. And they played a mid March game against the Denver Nuggets, and he was bad. He was really bad.
Yeah. That's, I can't argue that. I'm with you there. I had the same reaction.
And his teammate had the best game of the season he's had. I'm telling you, like, if I'm the Max Kellerman thing, alien dropped onto the planet, like, you asked me who the best player on the Celtics was, I'd tell you Jason Tatum was the fifth best player that night, because Kristaps Porzingis was excellent. Jaylen Brown had you. Maybe there's another game, and I'm sure there are, because Jaylen Brown has been really, really good this season. But I just felt like the way that he kept the Celtics in that game against the Nuggets, and he kept hitting tough shot after tough shot, was one of the best performances he's had this season. And then Derek White did what he did. Jrue Holiday hit those back-to-back threes at the end of the game. That's what kept the Celtics in it. So, like,
oh, for sure. If Brown was decent from the line that game, it would be a completely different story. Last thing I do want to say, though, Suns do not scare me. I'd rather play the Suns than play the Lakers, maybe even the Warriors. If Grayson Allen has a bad night in Phoenix, they don't win. Look at the number. Look at the last. I'm serious.
If he's been really good too.
If he has a bad shooting night, he's been great. If he's a bad shooting night from three, that team does not win. That team does not scare me as much as they should with the names they have on paper.
All right.
I'm gonna say. All right. Well, hit your free throws because they're free. We out you. We love you, Fisher Desopolis.
And now, this is the moment you've all been waiting for. We are live on the Charity Stripe Podcast with your hosts, Alex, Josh, and Nick.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. He's Jean-Lit Foot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
Escape to Ocean City, Maryland, and discover a place that just feels lighter, where every day feels like Saturday, and French fries are a food group, where flip-flops are always in fashion, and seafood is always in season, where the boardwalk is bustling, and the beach is right outside your door, where you can rise with the tide and feel like a kid again. Ocean City, Maryland, somewhere to smile about. Book your trip at OCOcean.com.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist, you'll want to invite everyone over. From book club to reality TV watch parties, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is infused with 2 times more essential oil versus regular Airwick Essential Mist for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is perfectly portable and effortlessly easy. The way fragrance should be. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.
They say plants like music. Yeah, no, like really, they respond to the vibrations of it, which means that this playlist you're listening to, the plants are too. You know what else plants like? Organic soil from Miracle-Gro. It's made with all the best stuff like wood fiber and compost. Plus, it's OMRI certified organic, which officially means it's made with superior ingredients. And when you give your plants the stuff that makes them happy, they won't judge you on your iffy playlist.
Hear that, plants?
So go ahead and give them Miracle-Gro.